Hey, it's the good folks at Comics for Fun and Profit reminding you that nobody Patreons like we Patreon. So join us at C4FAP and go over to Patreon.com/ComicsFunProfit and sign up at a level of your choosing. There's various tiers with various goodies for you. Something that everyone gets at any level is you get to be a part of our Slack channel community. And you get early and ad-free access to all our episodes. But wait, there's more. So go over to Patreon.com/ComicsFunProfit and check out all we have to offer. We urge you, sign up today.
Aloha! It's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing comic book creator and a friend of the podcast, Adrian Kolarik. He is here to promote his latest Kickstarter, The Sitter Number One. Now, please note that this is for mature readers. This campaign, when this interview goes is released, the campaign is live and will end on April 30th. Adrian, welcome back to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good, and thank you very much for having me back. I really appreciate this.
No, thank you very much. Now, listeners, I'm going to go over some of Adrian's work. Adrian, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Now I know you've worked on The Revenge of the Spoon, Rad 83. I want to try to pronounce this as Snifu Tales.
SNFU Tales.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then of course my favorite, Trakovi from Scout Comics. That is great. I love that. And we'll talk a little bit more about it at the end of the towards the end of the interview. Adrian, is there anything that I missed, or is there anything that you want listeners to check out?
I think that is it right now. Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're just focusing on the Sitter Kickstarter, and then that's going to kind of be my life up until April 30th, and then hopefully it gets funded, and then I can do my fulfillments after that, and then I can quickly move on to the next book.
Oh, that'd be nice. Okay, now listeners, I want to thank Adrian. He reached out to us. He asked us, Comics for Fun and Profit, to interview him. And also, Adrian, thank you very much for the advanced reading copy.
Thank you for taking your time to read it.
Okay, so where can listeners follow you on social media?
So basically all platforms, just at Adrian Kolarik. So it's AdrianKolerik, all one word.
Okay, all right. Now, let's just jump right in. Adrian, what is the story about?
So basically, the story starts off with our main protagonist is Finn. And it starts off, a 14-year-old Finn has his dad basically leave him and his mom. The same day that his father leaves them, a 1,000-foot giant appears in the river valley the exact same day. And, you know, while the whole city has kind of become enamored with this giant, you know, everyone's in love with it except for Finn, because for Finn, this is like a reminder of what is basically the worst day of his life. And so basically the story carries on into him in his middle age, and like the Sitter is still prevalent within like the cityscape. It's still celebrated, and it's still basically, you know, a thorn in his side. It's just it's a weight that he's just carried out throughout his life, and it's kind of preventing him from moving on, preventing him from furthering his life, from doing things that he should be doing. And and then one day he just decides the best way to rectify this is just to burn to the ground, and that's where he's potentially leading up to.
Now I'm gonna ask him, you know, how did you come up with the story idea? It's I have to say, it's, I love it. It's wild, it's fun, and it's a very good story.
Well, I had the concept of the Sitter. So when eventually, you know, when people see the Sitter, they'll see like this basically a person, but with like a big red block of a head, and then a little kind of a yellow kind of block inside the head. Anyway, about 20 years ago, I used to do furniture design. And so one of the pieces I made was a shelf unit that is basically the Sitter's head. And so I have like, it's like about 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide. It's like an actual piece of furniture. And I always kind of like sort of kept up with that little motif. I used to do like digital collages with that piece. And I just always kind of kept it. And then eventually, as soon as I finished Chokovie, I was thinking about the next book, and I kind of looked back at my old collage pieces, and I had in these digital collages, I would have, the sitter back then, like these collages about 15 years ago, just in like cityscapes, in landscapes and that. So it was already kind of like a situational thing that I already had set up. And so I thought, well, there's a story right there. I can draw from that. So I just took base. I took my own work as my own inspiration to start the story. And then by not, no longer being with, being back on my own as an independent, I kind of felt a little more freer to kind of like get a little more raunchier with the story, and basically have fun with the story. That was kind of my, my goal.
And then I'm gonna so listeners, me and Adrian talked a little bit. We're gonna go a little bit off the cuff because, as Adrian mentioned, he going on his own, he can be a little bit more freer, do a little more raunchier stuff, because the sitter has about because when we see Finn in his middle age, he has a girlfriend named Lainey. And I'm gonna ask, before we get into the scene, can you talk about a little bit about who Lainey is?
So Lainey is Finn's girlfriend, and she's basically his support system. He's just somebody that he leans on heavily. She's always trying to encourage him. Let him know that that what he does is good, right? Because like in Finn's mind, he's a washed up artist, and she's trying to like tell him that no, you're still good. You've done great things. And so she's the one who keeps continuously propping him up. The moral compass, the foundation.
And then, okay, because now the raunchy scene I want to talk about is the sex scene. This goes on for like 3 pages, and this is something I'm gonna say. It's kind of it is it, because listeners, when you pick up, when you back this book, and I'm really strongly encouraging you, if you want something totally different, something totally wild, please back this book. Because I love it, because usually when we see certain sex scenes in mature books, it's always like 1 or 2 panels, and it's always, it seems always very deadly serious, like, okay, yes, we're done. Now I have to go back and fight crime, or yes, I have to take out the enemy, and that's it. They move on. But your sex scene, it's wild, it's fun, and also at the same time, like you said, we find out who Lainey is. Like you said, Lainey is like Finn's moral compass, because the sex scene is not just a fun and naughty scene, but it's two people that's truly vulnerable at that moment. Everything is off, the gut is hanging out, and everything, all bumps and bruises and warts and everything is being revealed.
I just wanted something a little just something realistic, I guess. And also I wanted to I kind of sort of drew a bit from I don't know, you ever see Bridesmaids?
No, I haven't, not yet.
Okay, so in the movie starts off with basically just a really awkward sex scene between Kristen Wiig and Jon Hamm. And it was just the funniest way to start off a movie. Just right away you get the viewer in an awkward position, and then you put the main characters like in a vulnerable state, like you get like, you're sitting within an intimate moment with those characters, right? So you have like this sort of like this personal connection right off the bat. You've seen them naked, right? And then from that point on, you kind of sort of have a bit more of a, I don't know, like again, a personal connection with that character. And plus too, it's like I used to always like, talking with the like, other friends in the community and all that. I used to kind of joke about, I've always tried to stay away from raunchy stuff, from nudity and things like that. And we used to like, make fun of like, some of these Kickstarters, that had a lot of nudity. They would make like $500,000. You know what I mean? Like it was just, And so I was kind of making a bit of a crack about that as well. But I think it was more so I just wanted just something grittier. I just wanted a good gritty story. And I also want something that I want a story that was completely separated from Chokovey. There is some Chokovey, there is some Chokovey tie-ins in this book. There's a lot of Easter eggs in there. And so the plan is to eventually have those two universes kind of cross over. But yeah, I just wanted something just to kind of set it apart and, and maybe try to cater to a different readership.
But like I said, but I love how you just plop us in the moment where this is where Hufin is in this vulnerable state. We're connected with him. He talks about, his worries, his fears, about where is his life going to be. He's like, because he mentions that, hey, I'm almost 50, and then all of a sudden, then he starts talking about, I still own a comic book store. And it's like, oh, wait, this is pretty, this guy sounds pretty cool now,
Yeah, no, I guess with his age too, middle age, I wanted to kind of cater to that, demographic as well, with people have problems, in a middle age, the 40s and the 50s and kind of thing, and depression kind of sets in, and you get to that age where it's like, things aren't working like they used to, and your head is elsewhere, and you look back at missed opportunities, and it's funny, it's like, when you hit, your 40s, it's like a switch, and it just, you care about certain things more, and things you used to care a lot, you no longer care about, and you just kind of become a different person. It's almost like this transition, kind of thing, where it's like, you're trying to hold on to the past, but you're trying to figure out where you got to go in the future, and it's just this bridge, and it's kind of a rocky bridge, and yeah, so that's what I kind of want to lay out as well. Like, hopefully, like touch, kind of get a little personal with a few people, and
It's great. Like I said, and I'm sorry, Adrian, but like I said, that sex scene is funny, but yet there's an underlying tone of seriousness and to it. And that's what I love about it. Asuko? Who's Asuko?
Atsuko, when you first meet her, she is like a part-time employee at Finn's comic book shop. A little rambunctious. She's obviously much younger than him, so she's got a different take on things. She's very aggressive. She's basically a playoff of, if you ever seen the movie High Fidelity,
No, I
she's a,
haven't.
she's a playoff of Jack Black's character. Very opinionated, what she says matters, like she, when you first see her, she talks about how she got in an argument about someone on the train in regards to the David Harbour Hellboy
Oh,
movie,
yes.
right? Which I've had a conversation with a bunch of people as well, right? So yeah.
Oh, okay. She's a fun character too. She's a pretty wild character too in the book, but that's
Yeah, I really like her.
Now I'm gonna say Adrian, so going back to Finn, and feel free to comment, but I love Finn. The funny thing about it is that while I was reading this, I could either one see Nicolas Cage, playing Finn in a live movie. Or I can just see him be the voice for this character in a like a animation movie or something, or a series, a limited series, because I could really hear him. That's so cool.
It's so funny when you mentioned that in your email. I didn't think of it until then. I'm like, he's right. Especially the animation bit. 'Cause originally in my head, like as I was going, whenever I draw a character, whatever, I always try to like kind of think about, you try dreaming about casting, right? And so I had Adam Driver in my head, right? Just the nose and just the face and that, and even Adrian Brody as well, right? Because he kind of had those features as well. But yeah, the Cage thing. Hey, who knows? Who knows? You never know how these things play out.
So also too, again, I know I talk listeners, I talked about, I'm gonna throughout this interview, I'm gonna keep mentioning little things like, what I love about this book too is about, Finn's and Lainey's relationship. It feels real. I love it. The thing I also love about it too, and Adrian, I love your artwork because Finn and Lainey, they don't have perfect bodies. It's real world because people have different body shapes. I
Yeah, no,
mean,
nobody has. Yeah, no one's perfect, right? And it's just the running joke in my house is I can't draw pretty people, especially women, right? So, it's just, I just draw what I can.
But I love it, but it's great. I love the art. It's very expressive and it's very dynamic. I love it, especially when you do the either their facial features or their actions. It's always very dynamic and I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was trying to I, like it's funny 'cause like I was trying to like do better than my last Jacoby book, right? So it's like with each issue of Jacoby, all 5 issues, it's like if I'm on issue 3, I'm trying to do better in issue 2. If I'm on issue 4, I'm trying to do better in issue 3 and whatever, right? So I'm just trying to like get better, right? 'Cause I still find I'm fairly new to the comic book world, right? Because I started with 2021. 2020
That's
kind of
right.
thing. So yeah, so it's just growing, right? So but yeah, I found with this one I was a little more relaxed and just I don't know, I was really trying to focus on my line work. I only do like single lines, but just working with like this line weight to just kind of make things pop a bit better. And I wanted a cleaner look too, right, compared to the Jacoby books, right? A little less chaotic.
But yes, but this book, like I said, The Sitter, I love it. It's great. I want to talk about wherever we've already talked about that. Finn owns a comic shop. Now it's called Comic Slut. Now, is this based on a real comic book shop?
So the building that you see, like when you get the scene setting of Comic Slut, it's an actual building here in Edmonton. It's across the street from this butcher that I go to, and it's for lease. It's a vacant building right now. So I use that as my outside setting. The inside setting is actually the interior of the local shop that I go to, Comic Fever. So the inside is an actual comic shop, and Comic Fever was actually used in Jacoby issues 3, 4, 5. So it's like, so I've kind of sort of carried them over, as a recurring character, in this one.
Oh, that's nice. Because I love the inside shot of that comic book shop. It's perfect. Because when I saw that panel, I'm being honest, I could really smell the old musty scent when you walk in. I love it how it's an organized mess where you can see where the new comics are and stuff. You can see the long boxes are there are still it's like they're neatly stacked up on each other. You see like the cheap dollar bins. Like I said, I just love it because when I saw that scene, it just felt like home. It felt like a real good old-fashioned comic shop,
Yeah, and it's not a comic book shop unless there's piles. There's always got to be a pile of something, right? Like I said, I came in one day to Comic Fever, and I just said, "Hey guys, can I just take a couple snapshots? I'm gonna use it in a book." And they're like, "Yeah, sure." So I just, and then that was it. So even the front counter where Finn is reading his newspaper, the background is a Comic Fever. It's all Comic Fever. Like there's nothing made up in there, right? Except for like I on the walls and on the outside, I used books from from the indie publisher Lesser Known Comics. Some of the creators let me use their covers for their books, to kind of plaster the walls and the posters and all that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. All right. I'm gonna let's see. Your Kickstarter campaign, what are your stretch goal rewards? Do you have
Well,
that?
yeah, so I'm not doing any stretch goals right now. I'm kind of sort of keeping everything simple. So with the one issue, 38-page issue, I have 4 covers. One of them I'm only going to have a print run of 20, so there's only going to be 20 of this cover made up. And then just simple rewards, like I have be a character like in my next couple of books. Which is what I did in the Jacoby campaign, which worked out great. Your business as a setting. And then, and also too, then I also I'm going to try a retailer
Oh,
reward.
yes.
So if you're if you have a shop or whatever, you can basically buy like wholesale right there through the Kickstarter. And then just two just a couple add-ons. So a single cassette tape. We actually have a theme song for the sitter.
Oh,
And
cool.
so yeah, so a friend of mine here, he's an artist and also a musician, electronic musician. So he did, you know, it's called Nowadays. So he did, you know, the theme for the sitter, and he did an alternate version. So it's just a cassette single. I'm only got 15 of those available. And then lastly, I'm gonna offer books from a friend of mine, Dylan Corbusier. He's got he had a book called Metalhead Samurai. And so I'm just gonna carry just all three covers for that issue as an
Okay.
add-on. Yeah, I was just trying to keep things simple for this Kickstarter, because last Kickstarter, man, I had so much garbage. Like I had, you know, print stickers, buttons, you know, I think I had a vinyl record, you know, and the t-shirts, right? So I mean, and that stuff kind of becomes a bit of a nightmare, right? And so, you know, just keep it to books, and then, well, apart from the cassette, but yeah.
Oh, okay. No, but that's pretty cool that but at least you're offering some incentives. And like you said, you're just keeping it to a limited amount, like the cassette tapes. Like you're just who are the first 15 people that you know. And so that's good.
Yeah, and I mean, if the campaign does extremely well, and if I find there's a lot of backers, and the money starts whatever, then I can throw something in, right? Like maybe, like, you know, everyone will get a t-shirt, right? You know what I mean? Like, so that I just, yeah, I'm going to kind of treat this a little more fluid and just kind of go with it as it goes. But yeah, like I said, I just want to keep it simple, because I don't know about you, but it's like whenever I hit Kickstarters, I don't. If there's a lot of information, a lot of rewards, a lot of where I it just it's overload for me, and I find sometimes I just, like, I gotta turn it off, right? So we'll see how this goes. Hopefully I can kind of keep things mellow.
But I also understand too, because I'm going to say because there's somewhere it's because when I see some kicks, and it also depends to which Kickstarter too, because there's a lot of stuff I'm kind of going, I just want the book. But if there's something that I really want that, ooh, that looks interesting, then I'll spend the extra money. But most of the time it's just I just want the book and then that's it.
I'm that way too, right? Like I'll right away, I'll just kind of scroll through awards. I'm like, yeah, just show me the physical copy. I just want the physical copy. That's all I want, right? And as long as the shipping isn't astronomically high, that's the big thing too, right? And so, yeah, so I'm keeping it low. Like I think, and I'm telling people, it's like, the prices are all in Canadian dollars, right? So as you know, for you US guys, right, it'll be a lot, you know, whatever, right? So like the books are $12 Canadian, so I'd be closer to like probably like just over $10 for you guys, and then shipping to the US would be like $15 Canadian, right? So
That's
you
right
know, that's
down.
and that and that's the one nice thing about just being the main person on the book, right? Apart from the editor and varying cover artists, is I can just, like, I can keep prices low and just you know,
Because
get books into people's hands, right?
yes, that I but that's yeah, because that's the other thing also to factor in is the shipping too. That
Shipping's
kind of
huge. Yeah. And so if you can keep that low and keep, you know, keep everything low, then you got a good shot, right?
Yes, okay. So I love this first issue. Adrian, as I told you before that we started the interview, that this is a it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of energy to it, and I love your art style. Again, it's the facial expressions are very expressive, and their body language, whatever some of the actions that they do, it's very expressive, and I love it. And the other thing I also love about this first issue is, that not it that the colors and also the art, it brings the characters to life. It's some I just like I said I'm just trying to find the right words to describe reading this first issue. It's just there's so much energy, and I just love it.
Thank you.
Now, that's all I'm going to now, listeners. This is all I'm going to say about this book because I don't want to spoil it for everyone. And I told Adrian I don't want to spoil anything. No, but I'm also going to say I can't, but at the end of this issue, I cannot wait for issue two. I'm going to ask you, how many issues do you have planned for this series?
Three.
Oh, good
Yeah,
night.
I definitely want to do three. So it's funny because like I kind of sort of I told myself like I'm not going to bother with a publisher, right? I'll just kind of do whatever. So, but as soon as I
Yes.
finish the book and put it together, and when I pass it around to some people for a response and all that, and generally it's been a very, very, very positive response, kind of like coming back to me. I'm like, I'm going to just submit. I'm going to submit it, and I'm going to submit just to the people that, are my goals, right? So I submit it to Image, I submit it to Dark
Yes.
Horse, and I submit it to Mad Cave. So just those three,
Yes.
because I thought, Image would be like my end game. That's the one I just want to kind of get at the end of my or at some point. And so when you do your submittal, you have to kind of lay out what you want to do with the book, and I just like I'm like three issues, right? Because I find 5 issues, which is for Jacoby, it's great if you really want to flesh a story out. But that's a lot. That's you're really asking a reader to really hang on,
Yes.
because most people drop off after issue one. I don't know about you, but I know for me, sometimes I'm like done after issue two, right? And so if you keep a tidy 3 issues, beginning, middle, end,
Oh,
hopefully you
that's
can kind of
nice.
like hang on.
Yes. That is so cool. It's so cool that you have this game plan, already. You know already how much this is gonna go, and you're just gonna stick with it. And I think that's great. It's just you have a clear vision of, how many issues this story is gonna be. Now, I'm just asking, and when this first campaign is successful, do you have an idea when we might see the issue number two?
That's the thing right now, because right now it's like I'm working on my next book, which is The Revenge of the Spoon, which is it that's my it's my Tick bootleg comic, right? And so and that one I'm still trying to figure out how I'm gonna dispense that, because it's a bootleg comic. I don't have anybody's permission, so
Oh yes. Yeah.
So I might just finish the book, put it off to the side, and then when I eventually do Sitter 2, I'll just give it away with a copy of Sitter 2, right, as a freebie.
Okay.
But the Sitter 2, it's I probably won't start it probably for another year,
Oh,
because
okay.
I gotta get through the Revenge of the Spoon, and I have another book that I'm kind of contemplating right now, and then it's funny, it's really hard to schedule, right? Because a lot of times you kind of go where your head's at, like,
Yes.
and yeah.
Yeah,
So I
no.
mean, but hopefully, but. If theoretically this does get picked up, right, by any of those three that I mentioned, then everything changes, and then my
Yes.
full focus will go right on to the into the three issues, right? Which would be good, because with either of those three, I think they have pretty good release schedules. It might be every other month or something that issues will come out, so it'd be a bang, 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 and then people will still have the story, in their
Yes.
head. We'll see. I mean, everything's so like, we don't. I don't know. I don't know.
No, but again, I think what's really good is that, again, you have a game plan already for the sitter, and then that's where you can, at least you have, yeah, you have a, you have a, an idea of how many issues, and then from there you can play around with, okay, if someone picks this up, okay, then we can do this. If it's not picked up, I can shoot for next, after. And I'm keep saying this campaign will be successful, then I can shoot for next year for issue two for another, for another Kickstarter campaign.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, if for some reason if it gets enough people liking it, and if there's no, enough pressure, then maybe I'll just jump into issue two kind of right away. So like I already have notes for issue two, and so when I just submit to I know for Image, like I had to submit basically my full synopsis, right? How I want this story to go and how I want it to end. And so I figured out the ending, for issue three, and I'm kind of excited about it, so I don't know, I'm just waiting now. I'm waiting for a nice rejection letter, or I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Let's see. I'm gonna say, let's say if someone misses this campaign, and they want a hard copy of this first issue, is there a website they can go to after all the campaign pledges have been fulfilled?
Yeah, I will set up a Three Press Comics shop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I think it's like threepresscomics.com, and it's three the number three. So all one word, Three Press Comics. So I will set up an online shop, and then I'm gonna be doing like shows and stuff like
Yes.
that, right? So I will be tabling, and then I'll have physical copies there as well.
I'm this is off the cuff question, and it's okay if you don't want to talk about it. You want to talk about Three Press Comics? Because is that's your
Yeah. So I mean, like with any independent guy, you always, come up with your own name, right? Your own label name. And so yeah, so I had Three Press Comics when I first did Dracovi issue 1 and 2 as a self-published. I just came up with that name, Three Press Comics. I was kind of, I don't know, I felt like a basketball term, Three Press, yeah. So I've just, yeah, kind of, I used it for my first issue of Dracovi, and then of course Scout came along, and then the rest was whatever. But I always had my back in my head. I want to go back to it, and then just start putting out books under that label. And yeah, because there's something, like over the last, the last half year, I don't know if you've been following, it's been a lot of discourse like in regards to the publishers and releases and non-payments and things like that, right? Really kind of, the water has really been muddied, in the publisher world, right? And so because of that, I'm really starting to get more interested in just kind of doing me, because through Kickstarter, and I mean, you can really get your book out there, and you can get paid faster and more so than you would through a publisher.
And then also too, because the other thing, your own self-publisher doing Kickstarters, it's the thing about it too is that it's and I always keep saying this, I'm not knocking DC and Marvel down because I love reading those comics even today.
Oh, same.
But the other thing about you doing your own thing is it's your passion project. It's your love. Because again, when I read through this first issue, you could see the love and the passion, in your artwork, in your storytelling, and it's great. It is. So.
Yeah, no, it's and that's the thing too, that with when you're just doing an independent, you really do have a lot of freedom, like you don't have someone looking over your shoulder, or you're not waiting for other people, you know what I mean? Like it's just you, and you have a lot of control. You have control how, when you distribute it, printer and stuff like that. So but I will always say though, always hire an editor. Like whatever you do, hire an editor. And then yeah, because it's just you'd be amazed at how much punctual, errors you're gonna have in a book, right? You think it's the most amazing thing, and then you get the notes back, and there's just a sea of red, and oh my Lord, yeah. So
All right. So speaking of editors, this is the perfect segue. Do you want to give shout outs to the rest of your creative team?
okay, so I guess I'll start from the very, very top. So Liam Cleric, who's my son, he did the logo for the sitter. And then Olivia Cleric, my daughter, so she's my layout editor, and she was actually my layout editor through all the issues of Dracovi. So I basically used her to kind of, help me map things out a bit. And then Dylan Corbusier did the variant cover for the sitter, and he's done a few covers for me on Dracovi. And then Andrea Molinari, he's actually the head editor at Scout, but he also does work on the side as well. And so which is cool, because I was able to hire him for the sitter, because I worked with him, through 5 issues of Dracovi, and it was just a really great relationship. Like he's just a like he's just a great sounding board. He kind of sort of helps you massage the story a bit and kind of move things along, and he just asks questions, and he's very encouraging too, and if he doesn't like something, he'll tell you right away. And yeah, so again too, if you can find like that one editor, just hold on to them for dear life, because they're absolutely like invaluable.
Adrian, thank you very much. Okay, last question about the sitter. What was the most fun or exciting thing that you love working actually on this first issue?
It was, ex you know what? It was coming up with a cleaner style than Chokovie. So if anyone's read Chokovie, it's like the artwork is more chaotic. There's a lot of shading work in it. There's just a lot of stuff. And so what I wanted to do is kind of get more discipline with this. And so I was really trying to, I don't know. I had this like inspiration of Bob's Burgers in my head.
Oh yes,
You know,
that yes.
just how that artwork is. It's really simple, like clean, heavy line work when it had to be heavy, and just like no shading, just flat colors. And just, I wanted to kind of make it a more cleaner reading experience.
Yes.
Because when I got feedback on Chokovie, there was like some, the one negative that always came up was just that it at times it was hard to read, because there's just too much going on.
Oh, okay.
And it was fine, right? So, but if you hear from a couple of people, you're like, well, okay, it's probably worth noting, right? And so, like I said, I wanted to keep this one a little more streamlined, cleaner. And so, anyway, I really enjoy just trying to like, become disciplined enough to not want to add stuff
Yes.
on there. I think I had a couple panels where I put in some shading and kind of whatever.
Yes.
But yeah, no, that to me was like, yeah, just trying to like grow, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much. You mentioned already Trakovi. Now, for listeners, may I ask, can you tell them what that was a great series. Can you tell them what Trakovi was about?
Okay, so Chokovie is a 5-issue series that was published through Scout Comics, and so Chokovie dealt around well, the main character was called named Chokovie, who is a Slovenian thug, basically doing contract work in Edmonton, which is my hometown, and basically the series kicks off with a botched heist, which results in an unfortunate and fatal bus accident. Chokovie makes the decision to blow up said bus, up that's full of children, and it spirals from there, and it ends up becoming a revenge story. So there are people that were
Yes.
connected to the bus and connected to the people on the bus that basically want, like I said, just had it was like they're looking for revenge. They, you
Yes.
know, and so as the revenge story unfolded, then it furthered into basically a tragic family drama. That's
Yes.
really, that's the best way I could describe it. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, a lot of times people call it like, they say they refer to it as a superhero book, which is not. And I kind of like, I just put them in costumes. I thought it was kind of funny, guys in costumes, but not really do anything heroic kind of thing. But yeah, it's just a tragic family drama, and that by the end of the book, you just don't know who to cheer for, really. Everybody has a valid argument for what they've done,
Yes.
and it's up to you to decide who is right and who is not.
And I have to say, and listeners, when Adrian was putting out this book, he reached out to us, Comics for Fun and Profit, and he gave me the advanced copies, all 5 issues. And yes, it is a tragic family story, and I it's a it's well told. I love it because it slowly unraveled what was going on. And like I said, it's great. What were some of the readers' reactions to it? Because I know on Twitter there are a couple of people that they said they loved the book. I know I can't remember who said it on Twitter, and but they said, they read all 5 issues and they said you stuck the landing on the 5th issue. They loved it.
Yeah, the landing, that was the one positive that came up a lot, was the ending was perfect, right? And I kind of nicked the ending from like Better Call Saul and a little bit of Raiders Lost Ark is in there too in the last like 5 pages. But anyway, but yeah, so it was mostly like how it ended. And then the other thing that came up a lot was like people connected to a character. There was somebody that they were able to connect to. So that was nice, right? Because when you're dealing with a large ensemble of characters, sometimes that's really hard to juggle. I'm kind of realizing now. But yeah, no, really, those that gave it the time and read it in one sitting. And that was the biggest challenge, right? Is to get people to read it in one sitting, because issue one would come out in June and issue two wouldn't be out until September. Well, that's a lifetime in between issues, because like with me, like I moved on to like about 30 other titles, you know what I mean? And by the time issue two comes out, you're like, oh, well, I might as well wait for the third one, I might as well wait for the fourth one, I might as well wait for the whatever, right? And that was the thing too, like the people that were just kind of going off of issue by issue, they're confused because they didn't know where it was going, right? Because you don't know where it's going to go until the third issue, right? The third issue, you kind of whatever, and then four and five really reads like one book, right? So yeah, that was the one thing. It was just the confusion and then just not knowing where the story was going. And I think that really was just victim to just the release schedule, which again, it's like, it's out of my hands. But at least all five did get released, and so people, have the opportunity to give it a go.
Now, you already mentioned about, the story seems to be stronger when you read it all in one sitting. Perfect segue. Do you know when the trade will come out?
Okay, so I'm told it's like end of the year, or early next year. So I guess what Scout's doing, they're going through like a bit of a business transition, there with a new partner and whatnot. So I think they're kind of shuffling things around a bit. But yeah, what they had told me is like, yeah, end of next year and or end of this year potentially. And then what they want to do is they want to go with a manga size trade, right? So as opposed to like to whatever, so just
Regular
something a little
standard,
more. So we'll see. I mean, that's what I'm told right now. I mean, what I'm learning with comics, dealing with publisher, things change. I mean, they might just call up and say, ah, we're not going to do it, or it's going to be like maybe 2 years down the road. I don't know, right? I don't know. Hopefully sooner than later.
So I'm slowly wrapping things up. Two more questions. Your next convention or store appearance is sometime in April, May.
So I got two things going on in April. So on April 13th to the 14th, I'm at the Alberta Gallery of Arts here in Edmonton. So they have a comic and zine fair. So I'm going to be hanging out there for a couple of days. And then April 25th to the 28th, I'm at Calgary Expo. Which is basically it's basically a Comic Con. So I'll be there for 4 days, and so actually I'll have all five issues of Chokovie, and I'm also going to have some hard copies of The Sitter available as well. Even though the Kickstarter will be ending on the 30th, right? You could get early copies over that weekend.
That's gonna be nice because, but you know what's kind of nice about it is that you'll have some copies, hard copies of The Sitter, and it's just enough. It's kind of like giving little morsel treats to comic book readers. Hey, this is The Sitter. It's a Kickstarter, and then they read it and they go, okay, I'm in. When's the next issue coming out? Or they
Yeah,
start going,
I know. I was almost tempted to end the Kickstarter before the expo and just have it out of my head, but I'm like, well, why would I do that? Like, I should just have it running while I'm there, and then because you get a conversation with someone, you go, well, I have a Kickstarter going off this book right now, and that's what they come. It's funny. It's like squeezing a backer, squeezing like a pre-launch follower, it's just, man, that is just like, it's like just getting juice out of a rock, it's just like I've been like with the pre-launch, which has been up since January, I'm in that mode now. I'm in the hustle mode now, right, where I'm trying to get a hundred followers on the pre-launch, right? And so I'm at 99, right, with a couple days to go, and it's just like getting that one last pre-launch follower, and it's funny. It's not really going to really affect the campaign much, but I want to match. Like, I had 100 pre-launch followers with Chokovie, so I want to just match that. It's more so for me, right? So, but yeah. So it's funny. You gotta whatever avenue you can use for your Kickstarter, because I think there's like maybe like 20 Kickstarters that probably start out the same day as mine,
Just thinking of
that I've
that.
seen, right? So,
Yes.
it's really competitive out there.
Yes, it is. But like I said, again, I just think it's great that you're going to have couple of hard copies, try to spread it with word of mouth. The Kickstarter campaign is still going on for, at least, after the convention. So at least either someone goes home, takes it, reads it, oh my God, this is great. I've already got my copy, but I can tell my friend, who, and,
Yeah, or if they love it enough, hey, they can get a couple other covers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last question. Any closing words to our listeners?
Other than just hopefully get a chance to check out the Kickstarter, just avoid spoilers, I guess. It's funny,
Yes.
no one is giving away spoilers. Everyone I've talked to, like other podcasts, and readers, it's like I'm not saying a thing, right? Be
Yes.
just because of the experience, right? So hopefully you get a chance to read it and just get that impact, two-thirds of the way into this book.
All right. Adrian, mahalo. Thank you in Hawaiian. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to interview you. I
Thank
wish
you.
you, no, thank you very much. And I wish you all the success with your, the Sitter Kickstarter campaign. And again, listeners, the campaign, when this interview goes up, it is live and it will end on April 30th. If you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, please check out the Kickstarter campaign. I'm gonna, and Adrian, I'm sorry, but please, listeners, please note that this is for mature readers, so don't
Yes.
go pick this up for your 10-year-old kid. Hey,
Ain't gonna be 10 no much longer. Yeah.
or let's put it this way, Adrian, when we were 10, we were in our comic shop, man. Man,
Oh.
we were probably trying to check out the other, like, wow, Savage Sword, Conan magazine. We kind of knew what could be in there.
Hey, listen, we're not, I'm not dumb. I remember when I was 10, it's like, we would find magazines in the playground, right? Like back in the day. So it's just like, I can't keep kids from finding things, but I'm not going to contribute to them finding
Oh,
things. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
yeah.
But listeners, and Adrian already knows, I love this story because this story has so much energy. Everything from Adrian's art style, from the character's expression to their body language to the bright colors, it has a lot of energy to this. And I love how the story unfolds. It's great. I love this. Adrian, I am being serious. I will be backing this campaign, and I'm going to get a hard copy of the Sitter, and I'm going to give it to a friend as a gift for them to read.
Awesome.
So, listeners, if you know someone who loves independent comics, who loves independent comics, please consider checking out this Kickstarter and think about giving them this first issue as a gift to share. A gift to them. It's kind of like sharing the love of comics with other fellow comic book readers. I want to thank Drew, the co-host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listener. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
Thank you.
Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. and we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.